Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Yo, what's good, people? This is Trackstar, the DJ of Run the Jewels, and you're listening to the homies over at Zero Dark Nerdy.
All right, out there, party people, welcome back to Zero Dark Nerdy, the world's most notorious pop culture podcast, brought to you by the Believe Podcast Network. That is B-L-E-A-V, as well as betonline.ag for all your sports betting needs. This is your boy, Brian, a.k.a. El Nino, and today I'm joined with...
I'm Kip Crawley, a.k.a. Killer Disciple on IG and most other platforms that I'm a part of.
There you go. Wu-Tang Forever. Wu-Tang Killer Forever. Disciple.
for the children.
That's right. Wu-Tang always for the children. Always for the children. So speaking of children and, you know, formerly known as a child, now he's known as Grogu. I'm sure you can tell by Kip's shirt here. For those of you watching this on YouTube, for those of you just listening, we are going to be talking about all things Mandalorian season 3. Overall feelings about this season, favorite episodes, least favorite episodes, some comments, possibly some predictions for season 4. And to also tackle some of these rumors out there that Pedro and company are not thrilled on where they're at. So since Kip is our Star Wars expert here, I'm going to go ahead and kick things off to him, especially since he just literally got done watching the final episode for the second time before doing this episode.
Right. Yeah, I had to familiarize myself. It's been a week, so you know, I had to go back and see if there was anything that I missed. Not really. I mean, it was exactly how I remembered it. Mm-hmm. It was awesome. Mm-hmm. The final episode ended in a way that the way I looked at it was it could have been the end of the series.
Right.
And that is what a lot of people have been speculating.
Right.
I don't think that's necessarily the case. I think that if the rumors are true about Pedro Pascal not being happy with... Mm-hmm. I guess the direction of the show. And I heard that he had some issues with Kathleen Kennedy. Mm-hmm. I think that if he decided to not come back, that was a good point for him to exit. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I'm pretty sure he likes money. Yeah. So, I mean, and the guy doesn't even really have to be on set.
but before you keep going, that is the one thing I did want to address. Cause a lot of people were, you know, making these speculations because he didn't make it out to the Star Wars days out in Europe, which happened about a week ago. But he was there at Paley Fest, which big shout outs to Julie Johnson. She went to Paley Fest on behalf of the Fangirls podcast, which we're big fans of, also a part of the Believe Podcast Network. And during our discussion, she was like, if you were to see this, which you're now starting to see clips from Paley Fest come into light, you could see how much he loves this universe, just being a part of it and working with Favreau. So we'll get to more of that here in a little bit, but I think it's safe to say he's here to stay for a while. But a lot of people, the main question is how much is he actually on screen and how much of it is he voice acting?
Right.
Which is where the financial, I guess you could say, stipulations come in at. And apparently, at least for this season and really the first three seasons, he's been in the suit
every single time.
Not for all the stunts. Not for all the stunts, right. But he's in the suit playing the role. So he's not just in the sound studio, which I could see if he was getting paid less to just be a voice actor. Mm-hmm. But he's actually out there in the suit doing the thing, being a part of the roles. And this is, you know, it could be speculation, but this is what we've heard.
Right.
And not just in a sound studio. You know, because I mean, at the end of the day, his only scene could have been at the end of season 2,
right,
where he actually took his helmet off.
Yeah, we've seen his face like 3 times, I believe.
Right.
So in this season, not one time,
not
which
once.
I thought was odd.
Right.
You know, and then with all the rumors, you know, kind of, you know,
right,
going around, I was like, well, maybe he's not in the suit all the time. But
right.
I mean, I hope that he comes back. I think he's done a great job with the show.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, a lot of it's due to Jon Favreau's direction mm-hmm. and writing.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, I think that...
As always, thank you for listening to Zero Dark Nerdy. We're going to take just a quick little timeout for a sponsor break, and we will continue with this episode momentarily. Our partners at BetOnline continue to be the number one source for all your betting needs and sports info. Find all of the latest odds, news, and sports developments for the NBA playoffs, Major League Baseball, fights, and NFL futures. BetOnline is your continued source for all sports wagering needs, including live betting and the fan favorite Vegas casino and poker games. It's really easy to get started. Head to the website or use our mobile device to sign up and use our promo code BELIEVE, that's B-L-E-A-V, to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts. No love for Dave Filoni.
Well, all right.
So, I had to question you on that.
Okay. All right. So So my feeling on Dave Filoni is everybody's like, oh, give him the keys to the kingdom. He did a great job with Clone Wars. He should direct the next movie. And I'm like, all right, we'll simmer down a little bit, because the guy has never, besides, I think, two episodes of The Mandalorian, he's never directed any live action.
Right.
So when it comes to directing and the writing, he's done a good job with the animated stuff.
Yeah.
And I think that's his wheelhouse, and that's probably where he should stay until he gets a little bit more experience under his belt.
Agreed.
You have somebody like Jon Favreau, who's been around for years.
Yeah.
Writing and directing, producing.
Behind the camera.
Yeah, behind the camera.
I mean, I'll give more shout outs to Bryce Dallas Howard. Some of her episodes are some of my favorite episodes.
Right. Well, yeah. And I mean, obviously, it runs in the family.
So, right. Yeah.
She had probably one of the best teachers she could ever have.
Yeah.
And her father, Opie.
Yeah. Ron Howard, he's made a couple good movies. Stuff. Yeah. He's got some stuff out there. I mean,
Backdraft was pretty awesome. Anyway, I think that he does okay with the animated stuff, and you could always tell whenever he directs a live action episode, because those are the ones that feature his characters.
Okay.
You're going to see, like, when Ahsoka shows up, he's not going to let anybody else direct that. That's his baby.
Right.
Like Ahsoka shows up, that's him.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if he directed the episode of Book of Boba Fett that had Cad Bane in it, but that's another one of his original characters.
Right.
And he may have. I can't remember because I try to forget that entire series.
But. Right. Well, because, a lot of it was Mandalorian-based. You know, there were two pretty much Mandalorian episodes in the middle of Book of Boba Fett.
Right.
Which helped that series out tremendously, in my opinion. But to me, I was like, why didn't you save this for the Mandalorian in the first place?
There's also speculation that the studio had a lot to do with that.
Right.
They were like, well, you're going to have to put the people love Grogu, put him in there. We're trying to sell toys. Christmas is coming, right. So, it could have been that. It could have been that.
Agreed.
It was weird to see him show up and because if you didn't watch the Book of Boba Fett, when you started season 3 of The Mandalorian, you're like, oh, they're back together. You wouldn't know unless you watched that.
Yeah.
So, the cameos are so odd, but anyway,
they really are. So speaking of cameos, we get an episode with Jack Black and Lizzo. Oh, God. So what are your thoughts?
For some reason, I thought we were going to start with other cameos.
Oh no, I figured we just go right to the head.
Okay, that is the only episode of the season I watched one time, and I don't remember much about it because it was that bad to me.
Okay.
Like, a lot of people are comparing it to an episode of Law and Order. I think about the episode of Community that did the same thing, only better. Mm-hmm. Jack Black being Jack Black.
Yeah.
Lizzo is there for reasons. Christopher Lloyd was fine. Seeing him was fine. That didn't really bother me too much.
Right.
I'm just glad he's still kicking. That's good. But that episode, it was just, there was four different storylines going on at the same time.
It was a lot.
And the very beginning is the Romeo Juliet thing with the Mon Calamari character, who they mentioned that character in the first episode. They've peppered him in every now and then, but it's always in the background.
Okay.
They're trying to get him back because his family wants him back or something. It's always in the background, so you don't really notice it.
Right.
This is the first time they've shown this character.
Yeah.
And I think the episode with the one where Grogu ate the little tadpoles or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
They mentioned that character in that episode as well. Yeah, I don't know what that had to do with anything, because it doesn't pay off by the end of the season. I don't know if it's just something that they're building up to where it's going to be in another series. That's right. Possible.
And then we heard news that they were going to wrap this up with a Mandalorian movie.
Right.
Eventually.
Right.
So
I mean, they could show up. I hope they don't. Cause I don't need that. I don't need that love story in there.
Yeah.
That part was, I didn't understand it. Then the whole thing with just Lizzo and Jack Black being there. And I mean, some of it was just like, okay, they reformed because Jack Black worked for the Empire.
Right.
And okay. So I'm like, all right, that's cool. You could see another character that worked for the Empire and is trying to change his life and do right. better and all that. I'm like, all right, that's all right.
Which I think that was a big theme of this season right. is
redemption. Reform. Yeah.
Redemption. Right. Whether if it's you work for the Empire or you're just trying to redeem yourself in general.
Right.
I think that was what they were going for, whether as fans, whether if we liked it or not, they were showing the different scopes of redemption, whether if it's for us diehards as Din Djarin was like, hey, you know, I'm his father, to quote Darth Vader. but then of course the people that were being recalibrated, I don't know what the word is, that used to work for the Empire
right.
and now no longer work for the Empire, and to see if this is actually going to work.
Right. Yeah. I mean, they did that in the third or fourth episode mm-hmm. when they showed Dr. Pershing and
right.
They,
the longest episode of the whole series,
59 minutes long, and it was they could have shaved off like 34 minutes, mm-hmm. I think, easily.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, that's another thing with they keep on showing like Dr. Pershing. He shows up occasionally,
yeah.
But the last time they showed him was in the hologram form when he's talking to Gideon.
Yep.
Aelia Kane, she worked for Gideon, and they mm-hmm. showed her in the second season of The Mandalorian, and now they gave her a little bit more to do. She obviously is his informant,
yeah.
With the New Republic. I had to think about it today. I was thinking like, what did that episode have to do with anything?
Yeah.
And I'm assuming that when Pershing they're doing the mind flaying thing,
right?
It's like, are they getting information from him to show him to give to Gideon to complete the cloning process?
Right.
That's what I started thinking today. And that's why I went back and I was like,
good point.
That would make sense if that's what they were doing.
Because, I mean, Gideon says in the final episode, he was like, I was so close mm-hmm. to having my clones have that one thing, which is what they needed.
Right.
And, you know, he already said he was like the dark troopers?
The dark troopers.
You know, they're imperfect because they're machines.
Right.
And I'd rather just clone myself multiple and have them also have the force, and then I'm unstoppable.
Yeah, I mean, the guy was definitely feeling himself. He was really feeling himself. 100%. He's like, the best part is it has me. Like, he's like, this Beskar alloy armor, the best part of it has me in it. I was like, okay. I'm like, all right.
Yes. It's one Pollo Hermano, not two Pollos Hermanos.
So, yeah, I mean, looking back on several of those episodes, I didn't quite understand. Like, mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, so the Lizzo or Jack Black more in particular, like mm-hmm. that's a story of redemption. I get right. that. I just don't understand why they had to go through so many different story elements just to get to her
yeah.
trying to get her fleet back or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, like, I feel like that could have been an episode on its own.
Yeah.
And then that was wrapped up within 4 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, she fights, what's his name? Axe Wolves.
Oh yeah.
She fights him. Yeah. She fights him and he's like, oh, well, you don't have the saber. Yeah.
You don't have the dark saber.
Yeah. You don't have the dark saber. I'm like, okay. Which, spoiler alert, you know, I'm gonna keep on saying that. I'm glad that's not a thing anymore.
Same.
Yeah. That needed to go.
Thank God.
Yeah.
Kip and I talked about this the other day and I was like, I am so glad to see the dark saber gone from this show.
Yeah. It's cartoonish, like literally, because it looks like a cartoon when they show it.
Didn't look great. And it's supposed to cut through stuff, but then it doesn't cut through stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just one of those things to where I feel like they never got that correct.
Well, that and the whole, like, the rules surrounding it.
Right.
You know, like the fact that, Bo-Katan Kreese.
Mm-hmm.
Every time she's gotten the saber, it's always on a technicality.
Yeah.
You know, and like the rule is you have to win it in combat.
Mm-hmm.
She's never won it in combat.
Right.
And it's been gifted to her twice.
Yeah.
And well, there's been three attempts made because he tried to give it to her at the end of season two.
Yeah.
She was like, nah, I can't take it. And even Gideon was like, nah, she's got to win in a battle. Them's the rules.
Yeah.
You know, but until, you know, this season where it's just like, he's, oh, but wait.
I lost it.
Yeah. I mean, the guy, it's not like he wasn't dueling anybody.
Right.
He wasn't dueling. He got caught in like a bear trap or something. It was just like, he got snagged and it fell off of his belt or something. And then it was on the ground. Like whoever he was fighting, that thing that looked like Grievous or whatever, insect, or really, I don't know what it was, but like, he didn't give a damn about that saber, you know? And then she finds it and she uses it, you know, and she rescues him. But I guess nobody was there to see that. So, I mean, he really could have made anything up.
Exactly.
I mean, maybe a story that made him look better because he looked like a punk in that whole episode. I mean, she saved him like three times.
100%.
So, and that's another reason why people were like, oh, well, they were thinking that, or a lot of them still think this, that they're trying to replace Din Djarin as the Mandalorian with Bo-Katan Kreese as the Mandalorian.
Right.
I don't see that happening.
Yeah.
I think if anything, she will get her own show. And if you notice, by the end of the episode, all of the other Mandalorians, they're on Mandalore and they're doing their thing. Mm-hmm. Din Djarin, he's on Navarro and he's setting up his future. And I think the next season where he's going to be a hired gun and bringing in, you know what I think they're going to do? I think they're going to change the series that was supposed to be Rangers of the New Republic.
Okay.
And I think that they're going to make that, they're going to insert that into the Mandalorian.
Hey, I'm cool with that.
Because, I mean, there's no reason else to bring in Carson Teva as his, like, the Bosley to his, you know, Charlie's Angel, you know, so to speak. Like, he's just, like, his contact or whatever.
Sure.
He's giving them, you know, the assignments.
Yeah.
And that would make sense. You know, he's just, like, he can't get anything done under the New Republic because the New Republic sucks.
Right.
There's too much red tape. You got dudes like Tim Meadows messing it all up. You know,
the ladies, man, the ladies, fucking man. All up.
You got Leon Phelps messing it up for everybody. He's sitting in his office drinking his Cavalier.
Yeah, I think you said it right. Too much red tape.
Yeah, too much red tape. He's like, oh my God, man. So he's like, I'm just going to handle it myself. I'm going to call my homie.
Yeah.
I'm going to call up Din Djarin and I'm going to see if he can help. You know, so I think that's what it's going to be. Like, they're going to operate outside of the New Republic law.
Right. Right.
And that could be a pretty cool show if they do it that way.
And I love the way you sum that up, too, because I think it brings it back full circle. Right. Because it's great to have it like the first season where he's like, hey, I can bring you in hot. I can bring you in cold.
Yeah, that was a badass line.
Dopest line.
Yeah.
In any Star Wars thing ever. You know what I mean? And then on top of that, you see him growing a heart and going into this parental role with Grogu. And that's why, you know, as you and I were talking, especially, you know, at the very last episode where they did like the little zoom in where, you know, he's chilling in his little plot of land.
Right.
And there's Grogu, you know, eating frogs, doing all the shit that he does. And it like circles in on him and then it circles in on Grogu. And you're right. Like this could have been it because not every season of every show is going to be fantastic. It's very rare that you see every season of every show is great. Normally the first season's not that good. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's fire after that. For instance, Breaking Bad, like Sons of Anarchy. There's a lot of shows out there where the first season, I mean, even Sopranos first season was, and then, you know, they find their footing. This one from the gate, it was like, all right, season one, season two, fucking fire. Then of course we get Luke Skywalker coming in at the end of season two. Like, I don't care who you are. If you know anything about Star Wars and know anything about Luke Skywalker, if you're a female and your nipples didn't get hard, and if you're a male and you didn't get a little bit erect, there's something wrong with you right there. Cause as soon as we saw the X-Wing fighter come in and then saw the lightsaber, it was like, holy shit.
I saw the X-Wing and I paused. I was like,
Who's this? Can you leave me alone for like 5 minutes?
Right. He's just wrecking shop.
Like, exactly. You
know, I love it. I'm like, that's
exactly.
And thing is, that happened like after we saw, I think that came out after we saw that, the Rise of Skywalker or whatever, the last two movies, episode 8 and 9, I don't know, where, you know, his appearance was a huge disappointment to anybody that grew up loving Luke Skywalker.
Yep.
So this show put some respect on his name.
Yep.
And in that one scene, I was like, that's what I needed to see.
This was the comparison to seeing Darth Vader at the end of Rogue One.
Right.
Kicking ass. Because, yes. I mean, we've never seen these two kick ass, especially on their own. We finally got to see that with Darth Vader at the end of Rogue One. Mm-hmm. Like, if you don't love that movie, there is something seriously wrong with you.
Yeah,
if you
no
don't
telling.
Love that end scene.
There's no telling what you're about.
Right. I mean, honestly. Right. And then you finally see Luke not fighting Darth Vader, not being trained by Yoda.
Right.
Like just coming in and fucking up these dark troopers left and right.
Like he's a straight up Jedi master. He's a Jedi master.
And wearing the all black too. Yeah. You know what I mean? So we had two great seasons. I mean, and as I mentioned, you know, shows fall off. Was this one a complete fall off? They didn't completely jump the shark, but I agree with Kip.
Bo-Katan.
Like, is this going to become the Bo-Katan show?
Yeah, that's what I thought. That's
you know what I mean? And it was just like
she's getting a lot of screen time.
And not so much on Grogu, which right. I get it. And I think, you know, my thing is, of course, just like Kip was talking about, the episode with the Doctor being the longest episode of this series so far. Gigantic disappointment. I mean, the first 5 minutes, fire. Mm-hmm. Last 5 minutes, fucking fire. You get the 50 minutes in between and you're just like, what in the shit is going on?
I'm they about to go to the kitchen up. And get a beer while this is going
on. I'm not even gonna pause it,
right?
You know what I mean? Like, I'll go outside, take a smoke break, let me know when we get back to some awesome
stuff. It was that bad.
So my main thing is, great series, of course, not the best season by any means. I do not feel like Pedro is going anywhere. You know, I do feel like a lot of these rumors are false because, I mean, it happens every time somebody doesn't show up to like a convention or something like that. It's like, oh, are they pissed off at the writers or this, that, and the other? And again, big shout outs to Julie out there, just kind of confirming his, and I'm telling you, if you can YouTube Paley Fest 2023 Mandalorian panel, you just see how much he loves this series and everything else and how involved he is. Because I was questioning how much he actually was a part of the show because you do not see his face. So is this a guy that's in the sound studio 24/7, like 3 hours a week, or is he actually out there? And then he's also in the sound studio doing this.
I mean, you got to consider the fact that the guy, he's also doing another fire show.
Oh yeah. You know, Last of Us,
like he's doing that. And he's like, they're probably filming season two right now. I don't know. I'm not going to give away any spoilers for, you know, what happens in the game or anything, but like, we don't know where that's actually going. So, and you know what they're filming right now or when they're filming.
And I've loved the little gif or, you know, of him where he's like a deadlifter and it shows him like carrying the shows. Right. And it's like Last of Us and or it's like HBO Max and Disney Plus.
Yeah.
Cause he is. And I mean, the guy's a monster, but on top of that too, a lot of people don't realize this is an actor like many, many actors. He has put in the work. Like, this dude was in old Buffy the Vampire Slayer episodes, right?
Was
like, yeah, that was like one of his first gigs. Like, he's been in the industry for a long time. Had a great role with Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Then went on to do Narcos. Then went on to do, you know, some really, really great movies after that, especially Triple Frontier. Super, super underrated movie. And, you know, he's paid his due. So it's not like he was just like, hey, I just auditioned for this shit and now I'm like famous and doing this and the other. Like, he is the most humble person that you can see in interviews and stuff like that. So not just prediction, what I hope for in season four, because, you know, according to the reports, at the most two more seasons, and then there will be a movie that will set up probably other movies. Who knows? I believe, and like I said, we talked about this, there needs to be a time jump to where Grogu is actually speaking, and he's more of, even though he's 50 years old, he's more, let's just say, in dog years, you know, 75,
right,
and actually speaking and getting, I think eventually Grogu is going to get some Mandalorian armor, which is what we all want.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I think there's going to be a nice time jump.
Underneath his little cloak, whatever.
That's right. He put the Death Row chain underneath.
Yeah, you know. He's got that. But yeah, I think at some point he's going to have to start speaking.
Exactly.
More than just like, yes, no, no. That, which is cute. You know, it's funny. It's
right, with the buttons.
Yeah, it wears a little thin.
Yeah, it does.
But I mean, also just him just moving around. Like, he's got like 3-inch legs. It's weird. And him, it's a lot like watching Gizmo in like Gremlins, just like moving around. It's adorable. Right. But like
he, I'm not expecting this guy to run a marathon. No. Nah. But yeah, I expect some words and
put him
and
in
more
a mech
movement.
Suit just to get him. He's like, and even Din Djar's like, yeah, you got to keep up in the. Yeah. In the penultimate episode, he's like, yeah. You got to keep up. I'm like, yeah. I was wondering how that was going to happen.
Right.
Like, where's this little floating egg?
Right.
Where's that? Like, right. We need to see that. I mean, he didn't have that. I don't know what happened to him.
I don't either. Once he got the robot, he was like, yes, no, no, and then just moving around with this motherfucker.
Right. But I mean, compared to the little floating egg, it didn't really do that much. I mean, because it got destroyed.
Right.
You know, and then he jumps out and he's like, you know, jumping around the little rafters or whatever.
Exactly.
Making the Praetorian guards look like it was.
I just don't think that we can, as fans and as a show, that we can do another season where he's still not talking, just nodding and doing this, that, and the other. And that's why I do expect a time jump, which will make sense because I think we are going to get closer to episode 7 eventually.
Right.
Whether if it's next season or the season after. And, you know, from what I gathered, I think episode 7 is what, 20?
It's like 30 years.
30 years?
It's like 30 years.
So, and right now, what were you talking about before? So right now we're currently at what, like five. Years after episode 4?
Yeah,
so,
it's like 5 or 6, somewhere around there.
Yeah, so I mean, you're talking a 25-year jump, which makes sense, right? You'd, like Din Djarin's a little bit older. Mm-hmm. Grogu's finally talking. He's doing his shit. He's moving around a little bit more than just his little couple steps a second.
Yeah.
And then I think it just makes sense for everybody moving forward to do that as well.
Right. So, I mean, if you're looking at Yoda's age, because a lot of people compare him to Yoda was a Jedi master by the time he was 100.
Right.
And I doubt he was like Grogu status, where he's just like,
yeah.
You know, it's like, I doubt he was like that. Yeah. He was probably talking and moving around.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's what I'd like to see.
Yeah. Now let me ask you, what did you think about finally getting to see how Grogu left the temple? That scene.
How he left the temple?
Or how he got rescued from the temple when they executed order, what is it?
Oh, order 66. Yeah. And that's when they show Ahmed Best.
Yes.
Coming back as, like, I guess he's from a game show or something.
Something
it's something
like
that I don't watch and that I wasn't even aware of. But that character, he's part of Star Wars canon. Because he's, I guess, featured in some video, or not video game, some game show or something. I don't know. I have to look into that. But that was dope. I mean, I really enjoyed it. It was just, I was shocked to see Ahmed Best. But I was like, yeah, okay, cool. Because like he suffered a lot of hate for being the voice of Jar Jar Binks. And
Right. This is his redemption song.
Well, and the thing is, like, he shouldn't even need that because he was hired to do a job.
Right.
He did his job.
Exactly.
You know, like, I mean, you got to leave that up to George Lucas for the direction.
Yeah.
And, you know, Lawrence Kasdan, like whoever was doing the writing for that. I mean, they made a silly character.
Right.
That's just what happens. But he did his job. So he did what he was told to do. So I can't hate on him for that.
What are you looking forward to? Are there any characters from the animated series that you'd like to see to make an appearance on here? You know, just kind of give us a little bit of your feedback as far as just expectations and really just a wish list.
Okay. Well, I think that I'm not sure if they're going to bring in animated characters into the next season of Mandalorian. I think they're going to sprinkle them out throughout the new other series coming up. Like we have Hera Syndulla from Rebels. She's going to show up in Ahsoka.
Yeah.
As well as Sabine Wren.
Yeah,
like she's a major character in the Ahsoka series. I'm done with the Filoni verse at this point. Like, I kind of just want to see what Jon Favreau has going forward.
Okay.
And, I mean, yeah, throw Filoni a bone here and there, but, like, I don't need to see any of his other stuff.
I gotcha. And, I mean, you know, where you're different, like me, I have not watched any of Clone Wars. I have not watched any of Rebels.
Oh, what I'm saying right now, it's straight sacrilegious what I'm saying right now.
Right.
People are like, I'm going to get like, you know, Joffrey hate mail.
I will send you Kip's personal phone number and email here after the episode.
Yeah.
You're like, what the fuck is he talking about? But I would like to, obviously, right? Because obviously, you know, this universe ties in. Anytime I post anything that like connects the entire Star Wars universe, it gets the most likes on all of our social medias because it is hard to keep up with. Mm-hmm. You know, like, all right, where are we here? Where are we there? This, that, and the other. Like, I just finally started Andor. And it's actually a lot doper than I thought it was going to be. Right. I know that was one that you and I.
It's a slow burn.
It is. It's like a 007 meets Star Wars universe.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I'm glad that they're going in these directions. I'm excited about it. Kept telling a little bit about the restaurant that you own, with the delicious food that you got. Yeah. Come on now.
So we own a restaurant in Greensboro, New Garden, called Danny's Restaurant. It's just a basic Southern style diner. Come in for breakfast or lunch. We are open from 7 a.m. to 2 p.m. Monday through Saturday, and 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. on Sundays. Those hours may be changing in the future. We have some stuff that's coming up, but I'm not ready to make that announcement yet. But it's coming soon. So,
and I'm telling you, come and see us. Just saying this because he's right next to me. I go there. The food is delicious, and you get what you pay for. Like, the portions are outstanding.
Yeah, we feed you.
Yeah, so make sure you check out Danny's Restaurants or Danny's Restaurant for those of you here in Greensboro or you're visiting Greensboro. Kip will definitely be back for sure. He's going to be our correspondent, our man on the street, as well as joining us for more podcast episodes eventually.
Yes, sir.
Once, big shout outs to our interns, Victoria and AJ. Once we get our Twitch set up, we do plan on doing at least, if not a weekly, a bi-weekly episode on more up-to-date news. We're going to be rotating the Zero Dark Nerdy Famine for that. So stay tuned for those details. The email newsletter is back. If you're not a part of the email newsletter, it's only once a month. I'm telling you, it's the one email you're going to enjoy getting in your inbox. Just go to the website. It pops up after 5 seconds. You just got to put in your email. And we're going to let you know upcoming events, contests. We just did our Scream 6 contest where we had 4 people win the digital copy of it. So a lot of stuff coming your way. We're glad to be finally getting out of the pandemic. You know, we're here, year 5, season 6. It's exciting. Yeah. Kip's going to be joining us a lot more often. So be sure to check out Danny's Restaurant.
Yeah, come in.
We want to know your feedback on The Mandalorian as well. You know, so please feel free to reach out to us on social media, Zero Dark Nerdy, Twitch, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Pinterest, all across the board. Our website, big thank you to our friends over at Zibster. That is Zibster, making the most user-friendly and honestly very inexpensive websites on the planet. That, and they do hosting as well, and they do a phenomenal job. So be sure to check out Zibster for any of your website needs. And then, of course, betonline.ag for your gambling needs out there. You want to, you know, throw a couple bucks on the draft or, you know, some prop bets and futures. Betonline.ag is the place to go. And our good friends over at Believe.com. On behalf of Kip, this is Brian. On behalf of everybody else at Zero Dark Nerdy, we look forward to seeing you next week. Peace.
And anger management?
Fuck anger management.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.